I don't know about you, but that line just wrecked me. His wounds have paid my ransom. If Jesus hadn't died, we wouldn't be here today. If Jesus hadn't gone to the cross in obedience, we wouldn't know him today. We wouldn't be able to speak about the Father's love. We wouldn't be able to enjoy it, experience it, know it. If he hadn't died, then we're just a really good-looking social club. For the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've been kind of figuring out what to say and what today's message would be, and it might take a little turn here. When a pastor in his administrative acumen said, let's plan the whole year's worth of messages, I looked at him, yeah, right, that's a long time. My voice is a little off, and so Peter's going to have some fun as I fade in and out. It's me fading, not Peter working hard on sound, so we're going to give him props for making me sound even. And we said, you know, of the 32 years we've been married, I've probably I don't know how many Mother's Day sermons I've preached, and I've preached a couple of Father's Day. So this year we thought we'll switch it up. So Ralph preached on Mother's Day, and I'm preaching on Father's Day, and we'll see what that looks like. And I thought, Lord, what would you have us hear? Because I'd rather we hear from you than me talk, really. I'd rather we hear God's word and what he has for us today and than just me coming up with something really fun and fascinating. And being called to kids' ministries, I said, how am I going to do an outline for a Father's Day message? And the faithful hymn of Faith of Our Fathers. Oh, thank you, Gloria. Yeah, I'm doing the face whatever. I was peeling onions yesterday. That's a great makeup remover. Oh my gosh. I questioned my choice of mascara that morning. Thank you. And I thought of the hymn Faith of Our Fathers as an outline. Because, I mean, there's a lot of verses about fathers. There's a lot of verses about honor your parents. And we've taught that to our kids when they're little. You know, honor your father and your mother so we let you live longer. And we've... That works well when they're little, but when they get to be taller than you, they just kind of giggle like you guys did, and that's that. And there's lots of verses on, you know, a father demonstrates integrity and wisdom and the head of the home and the all of the verses that are there. And I thought, how do I find an outline in all of these things? And I went to the Faith of Our Fathers chapter. To me, Hebrews 11 is where I'll start at. And I thought, well, and then, of course, too, because we produce a lovely bulletin and everybody likes titles and whatever, Faith of Our Fathers, The Journey. So I was looking at the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, and what that looked like. And Faith of Our Fathers from the past can go right back to, well, I mean, if we really wanted to be adventurous and do a genealogy search, whoever led you to the Lord and whoever led them to the Lord and whoever led them to learn, see how far back you can go, that could be a fascinating long time to figure all that out. But I thought it would be a good start to look at Hebrews 11 and understanding what faith is and using an outline in Faith of Our Fathers, that it's a journey. There's a starting spot. It starts somewhere for each of us. Our faith journey has started somewhere. So you can think about that for the moment. But then as we're traveling along, we can call that a route, right? That's the present. So faith of our start in faith is the past. It's the foundation. It's the thing that it's built on. And then the route is what we're traveling on right now. It's the steps we're taking. It's the places we've been. It's the challenges and bumps and joys and everything that is in our life. And there's a part of Hebrews that speaks to what that looks like when we do that in faith. And then the guiding factor I see in this hymn and in God's word is our faith is based on the destination. where we are ending up. Now, I was going to pick on Brother Trevor this morning, because Brother Trevor is the quickest one to, oh, I have an idea of where I'm going to go, and he's gone. Because he does, right? And that's what he does, and he has wonderful stories. Now, mind you, his trip to India, he took a lot more time planning. And I remember Catherine telling me about the big trip you had a year or so ago, and you booked all the hotels, and you had so many hours here and so many hours. And it was quite the planning process for the two of you to travel that trip with some others. And those are details that are all part of the journey, but the ultimate goal was the destination. You take a route to get somewhere. As believers in Christ, our faith walk is getting us somewhere. It's not just a random wandering around, kind of going, oh, I serve Jesus, and this feels good, and that feels good over here, and wow, that's a really neat event. I'm going to check that. Those are all part of, but they're not the destination. Hebrews 11:1. We're in the NIV. For those who are visiting or first time, if you have an NIV Bible with you, great. If not, it will be up on the screen here in a bit, and or there are Bibles in the seats in front of you that you can participate with. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We get to see a lot of what goes on around us. I mean, how many of you have made cookies? Come on, hands up. I see a lot of women's hands up. I know my son Mike. Yeah, Ralph has made cookies. Oh, Josh, good for you, buddy. Mike makes cookies all the time. Don't tell him I said that, though. They're great. They're awesome. He loves them, but they are good. They're really good. And you follow a recipe. You follow a pattern. You can't just look in your kitchen cupboard and go, oh, I'm going to take a bit of that, a bit of this, a bit of that, and hope for the best. There's measurements. There's reasons behind some of the ingredients. There's a purpose to it all. But when we try to understand how God created everything here, we see the end result and we go, oh yeah, God created earth and air and water and molecules and bugs and all these things. And we kind of go, God did all this. But we're not on the side of it where there was nothing to begin with. And the word here tells us we can choose to believe by faith that what we see now was not made out of what was visible. We didn't know that. And that is the foundation of our faith. That is the foundation, whether it's something you are the first in the lineage of Christ followers in your family, your scenario, or if you have a history. I don't know how many years back. How many years back have some of you figured out that your great, great, however, was a believer? Has anybody gone past three? Gloria has, Judy has. I know Ralph's grandfather, and before? We don't know. Stephen, yep. Yep. Renil, Elizabeth, yep. Darlene, excellent. I can go back to, and I have my grandmother telling me, my Dutch Oma, my Beppa actually, and she remembers when she was a little girl, and she was 100 when she died 15 years ago. She remembers as a little girl that in the city they lived in, as she went outside, there were these people that put a tent up on the field where the corn had just been harvested, and they talked about God, and then they all fell down and rolled around on the corn, and that must have hurt because they're pretty hard stalks. And I'm going, but Bappa, that was an evangelical minister speaking gospel into the community at that time. And as she correlated that with what was going on in my life and my mom's life, it made sense to her. But I grew up knowing that she had always loved Jesus, whether it was her CRC experience of it, whatever. I always, in my mind, in my experience with her, I knew that she had loved Jesus. Abel, in verse 4, offered God the better sacrifice than Cain. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is our foundation. It's a living foundation. The first verse in the hymn says, faith of our fathers, which if we want to go back to what that looked like, the next sentence is living still. This is not a faith that brick is there and we'll never deal with that again. It is the actual foundation of what's going on in our life, because it's a living, science words, it could be a living organism. It is fluid. It is something that is there. And when we choose to honor and remember and pay heed to the fact that our very relationship with God and with Jesus Christ is based on believing in him who brought everything out of nothing. And if he can do that, what can he do with each of us who he specifically created for his purposes? To deal with all the stuff he made out of nothingness. So that's our start. That's our beginning. That's our, in spite of trials. Because we can go into the history books. Even if we did a study on this hymn and other hymns, a lot of them are written because of trials that people went through. Amazing grace. Being written right on the very spot on the ocean where the man's family had perished as the ship sank. How many other songs are written out of total despair? We actually did it. Did we do it here last week? I'll Raise a Hallelujah. That was written out of total despair. A whole church was praying for their pastor's two-year-old dealing with a life-threatening illness. And they say, God, we need a miracle. And God gave that song. And the whole church rose up with it as an anthem. So it's not just meant for praying for two-year-olds with life-threatening illnesses. It is still a living foundational part of our faith where we get to choose. We get to choose to participate with God in the supernatural. We get to choose to participate with God in his divinity. Because without it, maybe a crossing, but we're just a bag of air. Really? Or a really good looking social club. Let's go with that one. That's probably a nicer sounding one. Our root, our day-to-day living. We see now examples in the next part of Hebrews 11 when we talk about Noah. When he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Has any of us ever heard God say to us, you need to do this really bizarre thing because it's for your future good, and I need you to do it? How many, Ralph and I, whenever there's this, when we, any time in ministry where we have felt a season of change coming on, we've asked God for a few things. Number one, what's the logistics? So when our kids were younger, it's like, is there good schools? Will they have friends? Do we have access to our camp that we like to get away to? Like, these are all logistics. And you know what? They take care of themselves. Really, truly, they do. But the real reason to move is when God brings something supernatural to confirm his word in your life at the moment. And that will always be in line with his word. It's not a, dear Jesus, I am going to put out there that this is a true word for me. If the sky turns purple and there are orange things in this particular, you know, the trees bloom orange leaves all of a sudden. That could happen. Maple trees go orange. but God confirming his word and his work in your life doesn't come with an unusual request on our part or a fleece or something, because we're supposed to be careful about fleeces. I have a whole story about that, but we won't get into that one. That one's a funny one. And it proves to me that fleeces do work, but don't play with them. That's all I can say. Be careful. But God will always pour something into us, give us something, and he will confirm it with his word. If it doesn't line up with his word, we can say all we want about what we think it is, it still needs to line up with his word. Because that's what our faith is built on. A relationship with God, the Father, our understanding of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives, and our ongoing privilege of studying and knowing and worshiping because of his word, because of fellowship, because of his Holy Spirit in our lives today. So Abraham, he's got a life full of daily features that happen. He was called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, and he obeyed even though he did not know where he was going in verse 8. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, if we were to look at the landscape of what living in that land at that time looked like, tents were not an unusual thing. That's how they traveled. They didn't have motorhomes. They didn't go from one KOA campground to another, although that's probably, maybe the KOAs are divinely inspired. I don't know, because they're tent places. Tongue in cheek there. But they didn't have, like, Abraham wouldn't know what that was supposed to look like. He could only figure it out with what he visually knew around him. But he believed God's word that you will be the father of all the nations. His ability to physically figure that out was based on what a city or a group of people would look like. Like he could, oh, so this is what church looks like. Looks like all these people sitting here looking beautiful. I know what that is. But what if God were to say, Highway Christian Fellowship, the new call is we're going to go and we're going to meet in the parking lot every day, and whoever drives by, if they stop in, great. And that's what church is going to look like. We're going to go, oh, that could get interesting. I know at hockey and hot dogs, we've had some interesting people pop in. I think we fed a cat some hot dogs one time because somebody was, I say the word transient, but it's their lifestyle choice. They were biking up and down island and coming back and going on the ferry, and they saw the sign, hockey, but the biggest part of the sign was the hot dogs. Can I give my cat a hot dog? Yes. Well, why would you do this? Because we want you to know that Jesus loves you. That's what church looks like to this fellow with his cat. We gave him and his cat some hot dogs. Abraham didn't know what this promise was going to look like, but he believed in the God who said there was a promise. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He believed that God was faithful. He had heard enough stories. He knew enough about God the Father that God always keeps his promises. This is my favorite line. I shared it with Ralph last night. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead. That just tickled my fancy, that particular sentence. That he as good as dead. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Verse 17, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. All through this journey, Abraham believed he was supposed to go to some place that God told him to go without knowing what the outcome would be. He was supposed to believe that God was going to make him father of nations when physically it was the impossible thing to actually happen, because verse 12 says he was as good as dead. Then he does have a son. It physically makes sense that there is going to be a generational passing on of the heritage, which is very important in the storytelling. Especially in the faith for the Israelites, and that's how they relayed their world. They didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram to tell us about all the different food choices you have at the restaurant and look how lovely this napkin is. Isn't this a great idea? They didn't have all that instant stuff. They knew of the faith of the God of their the God who was their father because of what God had done for that father, who told the story on to the next generation, who told it on the next generation, the next generation. Abraham is waiting and seeing now, and he has Isaac. Pride and joy. God says, it's time to go make a sacrifice. A normal feature in the life of a patriarch and a family at that time. What wasn't so normal is God asked him to sacrifice his own son. Totally not cool. What do you do with that? You've believed that God's going to bring you to a place that he's called you to. You don't know what it looks like yet, but you believe he's going to do it. You believe, you can see now that the pattern of being the many generations, many nations can happen because, well, I know I have a son and this and that. And now you're asking me to sacrifice a promise you gave me. An answer to a promise. What I'm seeing here in Abraham's life is that faith was not just one piece of the foundation that never changed. It's not like a brick building. It's not like a piece of wood or a sound equipment or whatever. It's not static. It's not hard edges and not living. Our faith is a living relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. Abraham is now learning that a promise is not just the tangible result, like getting to a destination and going, aha, this is where we're supposed to be. And okay, I can see now that you mean many generations. God was changing Abraham step by step. He was helping him evolve in his relationship with God. He was helping him grow in his relationship with God. The dynamics were constantly fluid. So a little plug, if we're those of us who don't like a lot of change, guess what? You're different than what you were when you first accepted Jesus. Are you not in your faith? Is your faith different? We actually heard Roland say, the reason I get to be a great dad is because I learned from everything new we learn, every new word of God we bring into our life, every time God touches us, when we worship, when we pray, when we seek him, changes something. Because we're growing and developing in our relationship with God and with Jesus. And we're doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a, everybody's getting the power of the Holy Spirit. You're all going to look the same. That's like the bread rack at Walmart. Ugh. 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 I want to see it look different all the way around. I like seeing dynamics. I like seeing differences. I like seeing things that, you know, Inga's walk with God is going where it is right now because of what it is. But when there's a challenge, she's counting on God. I like seeing that Judy has faithfulness to go and work with the First Nations kids and the different reserves that are around us here through the Blue Bus Ministry. I like seeing that God is doing different things in each of our lives. And I like seeing that God meets us each where we are, no matter what the circumstance. And this is what God is doing here for Abraham. He's meeting Abraham because he asked him to meet him there. Because Abraham's in the right place. He's in the right time. He's got all the right stuff. Now he has to do something entirely foreign. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, in verse 19, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. We see other stories in there by faith of Joseph. And these stories are all outlined. So if you go through Hebrews 11 and start going back into where each of these stories took place in each of these persons' lives, you're going to see the most amazing path of faith that today, I promise you, each of us would line up some event in our life with that event in that person's life somewhere. Because truly, there are no new issues in life. As humans, we still need to come to terms with our relationship in God as much as these foundational fathers did. And that is our current journey. That is the route we get to take. That is the part of the song where it says, our fathers were chained in prisons dark. We're still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's faith if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then indeed be free. This faith is not a new commodity. Because you know what? Each of us has our own story about what God did. And when we understand the price that was paid in ransom, when we wear it, when we own it, like it wrecked me there at the beginning, we get to speak that into other people's lives around us. We get to let that change that God brought around in us, and we get to, by virtue of moving of the Holy Spirit, allow that to impact those around us. We will not know today what's happening this week that we need this word from today. You might not know. You might not know for weeks, months, years. And that's okay. Knowing what God did today means all will be well in the future, because now we're at the destination. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. I got to thinking about Paul when he was writing his letters in prison. And it really didn't matter to him anymore where it was, where he was, because he was with God. He was probably in the physical realm quite aware of the fact that he was going to die in prison. That did not change his walk of faith. His walk of faith was that no matter where he was, no matter what he was doing, no matter what people were doing to him or the government or the powers that be in the time, it didn't matter. Because he was in the presence of his Father and of his brother Christ Jesus. And he worshiped and he prayed and God answered. And that's sometimes the spot we get a little stuck in our day-to-day, because on the route, we kind of, like, we call them roadblocks. There's a TV show right now, The Amazing Race. You can do a roadblock or you can do a detour. And it's part of the game, right? So the roadblock is this part of the journey's over. You got to do something entirely different, totally weird, if you even want to have a chance to go on. A detour means you got to go back to where you were to get to back to where you want to go. Now, that's a really neat definition of some of my senior moments, because I can leave a room and go, oh, why did I come in here? I got to go back to where I was to get to where I want to go. That's just part of life. I'm sure we all have those moments. And if you don't, it will be happening at some point. But the purpose of faith, the purpose of relationship with Jesus Christ, is not so we can look cool, have great theology, be right, be fascinating in our community, be wonderful with each other. It's heaven. It's walking full tilt into heaven. Not just, oh, I barely made it. Somebody put a Facebook post in there. I want to be the Christian lady. That. Getting into heaven, it's like I'm coming in roaring. I'm here. I've done everything you wanted me to do, God. I've answered all the things, and I'm here. Kind of like kids. They can't wait to get to grandma's house or where's the good stuff, right? When your grandkids ask, where's the great stuff? And, you know, my granddaughter, we have a video of her this week. Mom is coming around the corner with the video because she heard noises. There's some noises you don't want to hear as a parent of toddlers. And then the one noise you definitely don't want to hear as a parent of toddlers is silence. So there'd been some silence, and then there was a shuffling and chair sliding. So Mom had come around the corner and in her wisdom had the camera on her phone. And there's my granddaughter on a chair at the counter with the bucket of ice cream. She's so cute. I love it. Anyway, she's doing this. Well, what are you doing, honey? Oh, Mommy, Alice, what is she doing? Blaming her baby brother who can't even reach, get on the chair by himself. Alice ate my ice cream. I needed more for us to share. I thought, you cheeky little girl. I'm loving this video. And going, okay. And so I keep watching, and Mommy is like, oh, well, Mommy and Daddy, you know, we weren't talking about ice cream. We just finished supper, and we hadn't talked about having ice cream. It's okay. I got it myself. And Mommy goes, and how did you do that, darling? I used the chair. Whoosh, up to the fridge, open the freezer, bucket down, over the counter, scoop the ice cream. But it's okay, Mommy. We're going to share. Running off in her jammies, off to the table. Brother's sitting at the table going, ice cream. He has no idea what's just happened. He's 16 months old, I think, around there, yeah. So she sits down on a chair, but puts the bowl of ice cream down on the table so she can get a chair. Well, bless little Alice, the fingers go in. Pull the bowl. No, 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 the sister yanks it out of his hand and puts it at the other end of the table. She totally forgot that she had gotten the ice cream to share. Or so that's what she said to Mummy. And all we can hear Mummy in the background is like, oh, this is a video we are definitely keeping. And that, like, so Chloe, in her ultimate desire of getting to the destination of having ice cream, had used a whole bunch of excuses and reasoning and anything she could think of to get to the desired point she wanted. And I say all that to say this. Don't be surprised that there are points in our lives we are not in charge of what happens, because it's God's plan to get us to the destination. It's not my plan. It's not my wit and genius. I would personally love to get in there and say, whew, that was easy. No big deal.
Can we still have ice cream?
So apparently Ike is taking all the fathers for ice cream today on his scooter, just so you know. I'm prophesying that, and it does not line up with word. It's just a total tongue-in-cheek scenario at the moment. Okay, okay.
So he promises to take us.
So do I trust his promises or God's promises? I think I better go with God's promises on this one, and we'll see what happens after that. The destination is our eternal reward. That's our destination. That's why we have faith. That's why we build a foundation of faith. That's why God planned all of this. That's why faith is so instrumental, because there are so many things in our life we are not in charge of. Things happen and we're just like, where did that come from? Anybody been hit with something like that recently? I have no idea where that came from. For some of you who have been praying for, I've been dealing with an ear thing, and it sounds like it's a physical thing, so I've got a specialist appointment in July, but it flares up. Just find it fascinating. The last two times that I've been preaching, it flares up the week before. And so there's this hollow sound here, and the voice changes, and it's just, it's more annoying than it is anything else. I can live with the little, so far, thank you, Jesus, the little amounts of pain. And we prayed for healing, and we're just going to go on and keep doing what God wants us to do. Because you know what? If we don't, we're saying no thank you to faith of our Father. We're saying, I don't need it. We're saying it's not important in our life. We're saying it's not relevant. And I'm not saying that's an easy answer to say, because I fully understand. I fully understand that those moments where things come up and you have no idea why or who or what the purpose behind it was, those are hard things to process. But when we hang on to the God who made everything out of nothing, that tells me he can make something out of this situation that I don't know what's going on with. That tells me he has a bigger plan than I could ever come up with. It's going to be better. It's going to be the best cookie recipe in the world. It's going to be the better than the plain, boring bread rack at Walmart. It's going to be exactly the best thing that was meant to be for my life and your life and our life as a body of believers. So it's important that we are foundational. It's important that we worship. It's important that we read his word. It's important that no matter what we say about the Holy Spirit, that all of this lines up with something we can know. Because really, in our finiteness, or we're not omniscient, God is. I started using some big words studying this week. I know them all. We're not omniscient, God is. We don't know everything, but we've got great resource here. We've got great resource when we pray and we let God speak to us. We have phenomenal resource when we worship and we allow it to flood over our spirits in a way that helps us know, I can get to the next moment. He knows my name. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is in here and in there and in there and in people in our community, and we need to help them be aware of it. Because truthfully, if we keep it all in here, this is my, I always fit this in somewhere. If we all sit in here enjoying all of this, I've decided that when I see Jesus on that last day, I want him to be able to say, you never stayed in the salt shaker, did you? No, I don't want to stay in the salt shaker. I don't want to be the one of the last few grains in the very bottom of the bottle that never got out and did anything. I want to be one of those. Here she comes. Look out. In she is. Do I understand that that's not always appropriate in all circumstances? Yeah, I've learned over the years that sometimes I need to be a little more wise about how I approach things, a little more circumspect. But I don't want to lose that enthusiasm. That serving Jesus is the reason. Serving Jesus is the route. The power of the Holy Spirit is what guides me on that route. God the Father is my foundation, my faith. He created something, everything from nothing. That means he can do stuff in me that I couldn't even dream of. When I was 14 and accepted Jesus, I was in high school. Seriously? Yes. It was amazing. Until I had to do a monologue in French class, and I thought, oh, me and Jesus got this. I passed out from total shock and fear and nerves. I could not public speak for love nor money. And there was never any of that in high school anyway. So, what you see today has been the process of change God has brought in my life. That as I understand more and more of him, as I allow him more and more rule in my life, as I look to him more and more every day, the point that this week, the past few weeks, my heart is burdened that I don't want to be content in not knowing the foundations. In not living in them. I don't want to get caught up in fluff. I don't want to get caught up in a fury. I don't want to get caught up in stuff that isn't lining up with his word. God the Father loves us so much. He sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And when Jesus returned to heaven after being here on earth, the Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter, as a guide, as a power. And here we go. This should be an exciting ride, people. And that may look a little different in each of our lives. I fully anticipate that Soldern isn't going to run around behind me doing kids' ministries. But I do know she prays for them faithfully. I do know Lola prays. And you know what? We are seeing things happen. I want you to pray for VBS. Because I want us to be praying for the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Is the same spirit that is going to convict and call and bring in to the kingdom of God. Not necessarily just our building. Part of that's our job to do the things to make them aware that we serve a living, dynamic, faithful God. There are so many out there. God is the God and he will heal. And we all know this and we've all lived in it. And whatever we're going through at this moment, God is going to be faithful. He is. Hang on to him. Because that faith is a living faith. That's not a one-time here, take a pill, now you're done faith. That's a living, ongoing faith. The last few verses are interesting. Because getting to the destination, contrary to our possibly preference, when in the hymn it says, faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how by kindly word and virtuous deeds. That's the hymn. Thank you. Oh, it's amazing when they, I was thinking this is led of the Spirit, but Stephen's up there ahead of me on it. It's great. It's awesome. It reminds me that I don't get to beat someone over the head and say, you have to serve Jesus or else. Uh-uh. We need to be his hand extended. We need to show his love because we know his love. We get to do that. We don't have to, but we get to. It's the love of Jesus that has Megan and Zach over in Thailand doing what they do. It's the love that has family members doing what they do for Jesus in all parts of our country, our world, our community. We get to be on that ride with. That's the love that's going to do it. Not the best theology, the sermon with the most unintelligible words because they're really big and long and hard to figure out. It's not going to be that alone. Each of us is going to have a preference. We like a certain style, a certain whatever. You know, that's fine. Preference is preference. But ultimately, God's going to call us to be responsible with the foundations. Did you serve me? Did you obey? He doesn't want the sacrifice of, ooh, I'm going to give up my favorite straw hat. Pastor goes, what? He just got a new hat this week, so he likes his straw hats. I'm asking you to give up taking that 47th coffee this month. You know what? If God wants you to save your coffee money and give it to missions, then do it. It's pretty straightforward, actually. It's foundational. The obedience is foundational. The faith is foundational. The worship is to be foundational. Our study of the word is foundational. Our fellowship with each other is foundational because we are meant to edify each other, build each other up. And in doing that, we show our community who Jesus is. We don't have to, Jesus loves you on our shirt. We don't have to do that all the time, but if we're called to, we will. I haven't put a shirt order in lately, but right now we're all volunteers for the community. But here, in verse 32, it's the summary. Because the verses in chapter 11 at this point are talking about all the specific events where a patriarchal father answered in faith a scenario that was asked of him. And then there's a summary that starts in verse 32. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. We know who did that. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. And I read this week, in China, right now, you can make money by tattling on Christians in your neighborhood. The government will pay you to tell them who the Christians and where the secret churches are, and they'll go get them and put them in jail, and you can make money that way. In October, Kevin Garrett and his wife will be joining us to speak about their journey through all of that, and that's going to be an exciting, exciting weekend to hear them. Some will face jeers and flogging while others were still chained and put in prisons. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Earlier, our sister spoke about how God's word in worship, there will be a cloud of his presence. I would like to say that the cloud is here when we hang on to Jesus in spite of any of these things happening. We're not guaranteed that our future is not going to have, hopefully it won't have stonings and floggings, hopefully. But the very presence of Jesus, the hanging on, having him be your cover, having him be your mantle, that is our cloud. We can walk with, and I'm not making a comic thing of a, you know the cartoon Bubbles? Jesus is my covering. I don't know why that person said that about me, but Jesus is my covering. I don't know why that family has lost a job, but Jesus can be their covering. And we get to stand in there for some people and be that with them. But take him with as your covering. Know that he is enough. Because that same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that brings us to Jesus. It's the same power that will release us from a variety of things. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus knew that his place in heaven was joy. Jesus knew that because he knew he had a place in heaven, he could endure all the earthly issues. And in enduring them because of Jesus, he had joy about his place in heaven. He did the stuff that he faced. He went to the cross with joy. In my mind, that brings me perspective about my issues. I'm not saying it's making them easier or lighter, but it helps me understand that my relationship with God is based on a faith scenario that he can do all things, and he will do something in my scenario. I can count on him to do that. So our great cloud of witnesses, we have examples we can line up with the word that show us that in faith, when we choose to do things God's way, he brings the best result. He brings the most honorable result. He brings the blessing. He brings the honor. He brings the joy into our lives. And that's our challenge, to run the race like Jesus did, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. That's our question today. Consider Jesus in your scenario. Consider Jesus in your loss. Consider Jesus in your pain. Consider Jesus in your heartbreak. Consider Jesus in your financial situation. Consider Jesus in your family. If Jesus could go to the cross with joy, consider him as the author and perfecter of the faith that we have, that we choose to walk in, and let him bring about the answer that he has for each and every one of us. Worship team, if you can come and maybe we'll sing Faith of Our Fathers.